Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us this morning comes from the epistle lesson, which was taken from Philippians chapter 4. We hear again from verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at length, you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is God's word. When was the last time you saw a commercial that told you, what you have right now is good enough? I'm going to guess probably never. Most advertising is built on creating discontent. It wants to convince you that what you have, it's okay. But what you really need is this product. And then, finally, at long last, the search will be over and you'll finally be happy. On balance, how has that worked for you? Does getting stuff keep you happy? No? Then this message is for you. One of the quiet values of the Bible is contentment. Contentment is simply being grateful for what you have, and it also means not being controlled by the urge to go get more. The problem is, there is emptiness in our souls that we are trying to fill, and on the surface, being content does not seem to help us fill up. How can we be content in a world where things don't go the way we want them to? In a world where we have to deal with all kinds of challenges and obstacles every single day. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, Paul is saying, I know the secret. I have learned how to be content. Now, if anyone has good reason to not be content, it's the Apostle Paul, the author of these very words. He's writing this letter to the Philippians as a Roman prisoner, which means he's chained to a guard 24 hours a day. You couldn't blame him for not being happy. He could say, Lord, this is not fair. I've been your faithful servant for over 25 years. Why are you letting this happen to me? Why can't I be out there on the front lines helping the churches? But Paul had a different attitude, and it's expressed all throughout this letter. In Philippians 1, he says, even though I am in custody because of my religious beliefs, I rejoice that the gospel is still being preached. And in Philippians 2, verse 17, he says, even though I am being poured out like a drink offering, I rejoice that you are working out your salvation. And in Philippians 4, Paul says, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your life is like, no matter what your circumstances are, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Instead of being the grumpiest, most bitter man on earth, Paul is the most joyful. Because he locates joy in Jesus and not in circumstances. That's so important, I'll say it again. Paul locates joy in Jesus and not in circumstances. And then in verse 10, Paul says, I rejoice greatly that at last you've renewed your concern for me. You've been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. We know from verse 15 that the Philippian church was the only congregation that was sending Paul financial support at this moment. In the past, they weren't able to do it, but now they can. And notice, Paul's not rejoicing because now he has a few extra dollars in his pocket. He's rejoicing that these people care about him. They're still supporting his mission. And he goes on to say, in verse 11, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. And did you hear that? Paul is saying being content is something he had to learn. That's an important point. Because contentment does not come naturally. We get antsy when we don't get what we want, when we want it. As a good teacher, Paul talks about how he got to this point in his life. Verse 12 says, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And when Paul says this, he's reflecting at least a little bit on his own personal history. In 2 Corinthians, he tells the church about all the bad things that happened to him in the province of Asia, and he says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. According to Paul, God deliberately puts people in challenging situations so that we might learn to rely on Him rather than ourselves. He allows us to go through bad and good times so that we can say with conviction, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, having said that and quoted Paul in this way, let's be clear. When Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, he's not saying, I can be the best basketball player in the world if I just involve Jesus in it somehow. This is not a recipe for God as our genie in the bottle granting free wishes, or God as the divine vending machine giving us what we want if we just put the right change in. The apostle is telling you and me here This is how you make it through hard times without being crushed. And this is how you make it through the good times without falling in love with the gift instead of the giver. The secret of being content in every situation is the strength of Christ. How do you access this strength? The secret is to do what Paul has been doing all along, to make a conscious decision to locate joy in Jesus and not circumstances. This is something we have to pray our way into. It is a learned behavior, as we've seen in the example of Paul himself. But where does that strength come from? That strong resolve comes from Jesus. It starts with Him. Think of the strength that it took for Jesus to complete His mission. When Jesus went to the cross, He wasn't happy in any traditional sense of the word. He was sweating drops of blood in the garden. On the cross, He moaned. He cried out. But at the same time, Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." On the cross, Jesus could not possibly have rejoiced in His circumstances. Yet Scripture says there was joy set before Him. What was it? It was the joy of gaining you through His sacrifice. It was the joy of doing what He set out to do and returning to His Father. It wasn't the circumstances of nails and wood and whips and thorns and blinding, suffocating pain. The joy was flowing from another source, rooted in His Father's heart. There was a love He was returning to and releasing into the world all at once there at the cross. There's a story about the millionaire William Randolph Hearst. He invested a fortune in collecting art treasures from all around the world. And one day, he heard about this valuable artifact, so he sent his agent abroad to go look for it. Of course, he didn't have time to do stuff like that. And after months of searching, that agent of his finally found the treasure. To the surprise of Hearst, that priceless masterpiece was stored right in his own warehouse. He'd been searching all over the world through his agent for a treasure he already possessed. It is quite possible for you and me to search all over for things that will give us contentment and peace of mind forgetting that there is treasure right under our noses. That treasure is a joyful reliance on Jesus. There is a very real love that you can experience right now that can overpower your hurt, your pain, your discontent, flowing from a crucified and risen man who is also God. You are his joy. Is he yours? Would you please pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, with the Son and Holy Spirit, we come before you today candidly admitting the times where we have chased after all manner of things, thinking that if we just get that, then we'll finally be happy, only to be disappointed yet again. Please allow us to experience the joy of the gospel today through your word, and to see that there, finally, our thirst is quenched, knowing the length to which you would go in order to forgive us and restore us and fill us with your love, which has no end, which flows from Christ as its source and his great sacrifice on the cross. By his risen life, allow us to experience a new kind of life and to live in this regenerated, renewed heart, mind, and soul today and every day. May we find contentment, finally, in your love for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.